Yeah, because you know, there's this amazing thing that happened just yesterday or day before yesterday. They made an announcement in India saying that physics and mathematics is not going to be essential for your engineering entrance. And
Oh, wow.
exactly, go on, tell me your reaction to that. Let's do that live.
I mean, I don't think that's possible if anyone's attempting to be a serious engineer at any point down the line.
For me, I don't even think it's why is that why did that happen? I'm curious to know why that was a consideration and why it was proposed slash perhaps approved.
So the way I see it is, for example, in the US, if in 11th or 12th or whatever it your what do they call their 11th and 12th? The
Junior,
senior high
senior,
school, right?
junior engineer, yeah, right.
So in that, suppose you have not taken higher order math, and you come into your university, and you say, I really don't know this as well as I should. What happens? Somebody comes up to help you. You have a study group that's available to you.
Yeah.
You have resources available to you. You have your lower level courses that are essential to take before you move on to your higher order courses.
Yeah.
So there is a system in place, right? If you're not prepared for something, there is a system in place to make sure that you're up to the level. So why they've tried to do this in India as a policy is because they say that suppose you made the mistake of not taking science in class 11 and 12. Really, in class
Oh,
9 and 12, 10, what do you even know about what you want in
yeah,
life
that's true.
to be able to
That's
be
true.
trapped into the choice? Suppose you forgot, you didn't take physics at that time and you took psychology. And you're actually really, really good at physics. But you discovered that only when you sat with your friends. And you were able to crack their physics textbook much better than they were able to. Why should that student or that wonderful batch of students, group of students, be trapped just because of some early choices they made? You should be able to explore psychology and say, no, actually, I'm really made for physics. But that is not going to work. So the idea is to reduce the access barrier only at the entry point. But it's not going to work if you don't have the other supporting structures in place. So you remember the regional rural bank? They said you can manage your own money, but they didn't put in the training. You're messed up totally, man, if you don't put in the training. So here again, it's going to be awful if they do not put in the support structures. But fine, we let you in, but we are not going to let you progress till you know your stuff. The certification and the competence do not need to be linked to each other. You can de-link them. But the competence must exist. I agree with you. I mean, engineers in India were up in arms. Scientists were up in arms, outraged.
I want to double click on that point because I think that's particularly relevant in the context of this podcast, specifically where we talk about engineering talent in India and how that has given rise to so many startups. I think one of the good things about, and perhaps this is something that people don't realize early on, is yes, there is a lot of rote learning in our system, and yes, students are forced to make some early choices. But I think that would you agree with this? I guess this is a question to you, Amita. Would you agree with the statement that there has existed this talent arbitrage between India and some of the Western nations in terms of students going to foreign universities and excelling because they know so many of the concepts that have already been taught to them in high school? So, for example, this is just an anecdote, and maybe Aman can attest to this as well. But when I came to Rice, I found that some of the courses that I had to take, I could do really well in them only because I had those foundations and those skills already developed in 11th and 12th grade. So, when you say that physics and chemistry or math or physics and math is not required for engineering, do you think we would lose some of that talent arbitrage as well?
You know, that's exactly the most wonderful argument that another engineer presented to me yesterday, and I've asked her to write a newspaper article exactly on this, because that was the strongest argument I have heard, and you presented it very well against this new policy. And think you're absolutely right, because the math, physics, STEM, and then engineering pathway was one of the few pathways where we were able to attain and sustain rigor in our learning.
Yeah.
We were able to, and again, when we go back, by the way, none of us is against rote learning. Rote learning is different from reductionist learning. Being a photocopier is what I object to. Reductionism is what I would object to. Rote has amazing uses. I mean, you want your surgeon to know what to plug into you in the middle of surgery, man. And he has to do that from memory. More importantly, when you're terribly depressed or you're having one of those rough moments in life, just being able to remember some poetry that works for that moment, that's a great internal resource. All poetry is written in angst. Much of it is written in angst. And that depends upon memory as a skill. That depends upon rote. You have to learn poems by rote. I mean, there's a Ghalib quote for everything. There's a Shakespeare quote for anything. And for the Bengalis out there, there's a Shonar Killa quote. That's a movie. For every situation in life. For Amitabh Bachchan fans, there's an Amitabh Bachchan quote for everything. And so, that's memory, right? And it helps you in so many different situations. To come back to the more rigorous thing, yes. Two questions come from what you say, actually. One, yes, of course, there was knowledge arbitrage, which was based on this rigor and this very deep, sustainable, very well done set of competencies that were drilled into our students. The second question that comes from that is that arbitrage good for India? And I'm not going to answer that, but I think that question needs to be placed on the table.
Yeah.
Whether it should have been arbitrage or whether it should have had opportunities without having to give the advantage of that arbitrage. I mean, arbitrage effectively is a no-cost deal, right? So should we have been handing that no-cost deal out to everybody? It's a sad loss, and it's a sad loss at the policymaking level.
That's very insightful.
You guys will come back, so we'll be fine.
It's funny how our discussions are, I don't want to say taking a tangential turn, but I think we always come back to these philosophical questions. I don't know if this is about education in general, but it's such a, I think especially for India, it's such a sensitive topic, because we pride ourselves on our education, but there's also these glaring holes that everyone seems to be aware of. But like you said, we can be optimistic, but it's all tied up by these little strings of hope. So yes, it is what it is.
Yeah, but as Siddhartha said, this is about incentives. And the way we run it right now, the incentives are perfectly aligned. It's a neat, efficient system. There's no doubt about that.